Okay, we're doing it. We're going to try the microphone tonight. Here we go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. We're going to go ahead and get started. I've got a variety of things to introduce to you tonight as far as new stuff. I do have two handouts. I made 8 copies of this, and you can pass it around. This one is, we're going to be talking tonight about the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate, and this right here shows, we're going to talk about James Fleming, who in 1967 ended up getting underneath and taking a photograph of the gate, the Herodian Gate underneath the modern, the 1500s. Actually, it was built in the Byzantine time, right at the end, like 700 AD, the Eastern Gate. This is a photograph of a guy who recently went there and stuck his camera down and snapped a photograph. And so you can see, this is kind of gives you a picture of that. So I didn't hand these out. There's 8 copies. You want to do something with those? And this is a picture of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And remember, we talked about, we'll mention again, you've got the ladder sitting there. It's been sitting there for hundreds of years. There's just a weird thing happened. Someone at night, someone went over and moved it to the different window. And so it was kind of like a... And there's 8 copies. You guys want to... I don't know, just those are just some little handouts there. Also, I want you to see this. These are some things I copied again for you to take and read. I made 2 or 3 copies of each one. So if you bring it back, I'm not going to have you check them out, but if you read them, bring them back, and then someone else can read them if you'd like to. This is about the excavation at Hazor. It's the city that Joshua destroyed. If you're going to Jerusalem with us in 2012, we will be at Hazor, and you'll see these things. And so that's what I'm trying to get some of these, so you kind of see some of these ahead of time. This is one about Jerusalem. A lot of the details we've already talked about. It gives you some maps and diagrams and some information about Jerusalem. The Rosettas, or the image that was stamped on the jars of royalty. So then they find that it just talks about that little symbol there that indicates it was for the royalty of Judah that they have found. 2 things I'm very excited to show you. We talked about the Nea Church. Now, this is something that most people know nothing about. It's not because, you know, it's such secret information, just that no one ever considers or even heard about it. At least I never heard of the Nea Church until I started researching it. The Nea Church, which part of it is still existing underneath the southern wall, was a large church made by Justinian. Here's all the details about it from Biblical Archaeology Review, including it shows some images of the underneath. Now, I've never been down underneath. There's a vault down there, and there's an inscription on the wall put there by Justinian when he built it. And this is where the last time they think that this is where the last place the temple treasures were at, and then they vanish when the Persians and the Jews come in and drive the Christians out and take over. That's the Nea Church. And then this one right here is about David's palace. It's Eliot Mazar. Her grandfather Benjamin did a bunch of work just on the Ophel south of the Temple Mount, and she now is in a lot of work. She worked with her grandfather in, you know, through the 70s, 80s, and she is now pretty clearly excavated or discovered, identified David's palace, and this is an article about that right there. And that, I got some pictures of that in the book, but this is her work right here talking about that. Anyway, those are some things you can take, and they've got some color photos there. Now the next thing I want to introduce to you is this right here, and I bought a bunch of these online. So does every couple have a copy of this? I mean, like, are you guys together? Okay, very good. Okay.
35 years.
Okay, congratulations. Bob, this one's got tape on it, so I was saving it for the last one. I may have more coming. I ordered as many as I could for any between $3 and $5, $6. So you can get them online for $10. You go all the way up to $75, $80. But I just snagged all the ones I could find for $3, $4, $5, and I got them. And I think I may have more coming. I ordered from like 12 different sites. And I lost track. I just kept clicking yes, buy, click, buy, click, buy. And so I may have another 10 coming this week. So nonetheless, this is made by a guy named Munson. It was from 1979. He's from the, or worked along with the Jerusalem University College that we're going to be attending a class there, where Carl Rasmussen teaches. Same place where James Fleming, when he went down, took that picture of the wall, the gate underneath the Eastern Wall, same place he was at. But anyway, I just want to walk through this and show you kind of what this book entails. So I'm not going to be teaching from it by any means. And it's one of those things, it's kind of neat to have, but if it cost me $20, $30, I probably wouldn't buy one. But because it's $3, it's like, yeah, it would take more to make copies of it than to buy it for $3. Nonetheless, here we go. Just turn the page. Oh, I'm going to go into the region. The pages aren't necessarily numbered, but they're section 1, section 2, section 3. And so when you look at section 1, that's this page right here. I'm just walking you through this, and I don't want to take too much time. Section 1, it's about 3 pages in. It says, Key to the Regional Maps. And what you're doing is you're looking at the land of Israel from the Mediterranean Sea. And what's kind of neat there, you've got in the different squares, those are different blocks where the maps are going to be as we go through this book. And they're going to be broken down into time periods, like the Canaanite time period, the conquest time. And all the cities are going to be labeled for those different time periods. Because once a city was built, you know, by the Canaanites, doesn't mean it was there in the days of David. It may have disappeared and then be resettled during the days of Hezekiah or by the Greeks or the Byzantines or something. So the cities sometimes move around, like would be obvious. But nonetheless, these are the different maps. And just some interesting things there. You can see, like the coastal plain down here. That's down where the Philistines were. The plain of Sharon over here. That's another place. The Shephelah of Judah, where the foothills of the hill country of Judah, for example. You're going to have the Shephelah of Galilee also coming out of the hills of that. So those are just some basic terms of the different areas. Then the first thing they've got there, section 1, map 1, is the regional map. And you can see as you look at that, you're looking at the area of Bethlehem, the hill country of Judah. And you just flip through there and you just move through all of those maps now. Just basic sectional maps, and that's just section 1. And, all the cities are identified, and that, again, these are just the different regional maps.
Those sections have dates on?
Not these yet. These are just the regional maps. Okay. And now I'm going to continue. I'm just flipping and going through all those different regions, the plain of Sharon, the Shephelah of Judah. We're just... What are you looking at?
Modern roads.
This is the way it would look today. And now we're getting to section 2. Section 2 is going to do your archaeology, the different sites of archaeological work. And so now, are you in section 2? It says archaeology. And now you're going to have just different layouts of the maps that were made in archaeological work during the Chalcolithic time. That's going way back to 4000 BC. And then the early bronze period. So that would be 2000 BC, middle bronze, late bronze. Now you're getting up to the time of David. The Iron Age would be more like David than Iron Age 2. These are just the different ages. And I want to get what I'm shooting for is section 3. And now you've got the early bronze period, or identified as the Canaanite period. So when Melchizedek was in the land, Abraham was coming to the land, these now are those same regional maps marked out with the cities from the time of the Canaanites. And again, you just flip through a series of maps now in section 3, showing you again, those different time periods, the different maps in that time period. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, thank you. You continue to just go through there. And again, a lot of these cities have disappeared. Some of them have been resettled. I'll show you a section in the very back that's going to give you an intense graph that shows you when the cities were in existence and when they disappeared, when they came back into existence. So that's Canaanites. So we're going to now flip to section 5. And now we're in the Israelite conquest. And now, so we're Judges, Joshua. And again, the same series of maps. But now, some of the cities are the same. You know, they were just occupied by Israelites, or they were destroyed by the Israelites. Or the Israelites built new cities. And now you got a whole section of maps dealing with the Israelite conquest. And again, you just flip through them. Now I'm going to go continue to section 6. And you're in the time of the Judges. And again, it's the same thing. And basically, as you look at that, I'm just going to keep flipping. Section 6 is the judges. Section 7 is now Samuel and the United Monarchy. That's David, Solomon's time period. Samuel, David, and Solomon's time period. And where the kingdoms were. Then, of course, the next one. Section 8 is the divided kingdom A. During it would be the Iron Age. And then they're eventually going to have the second time period, so you get the later king. So the kingdom's divided into the early divided kingdom and then the later divided kingdom. So you may have the days of Jeroboam and some of those early kings, maybe even Ahab, and then it's going to break and you're going to start getting the later kings like Hezekiah and some of the final kings before they're invaded by the Babylonians. And then section 10 is the Persian period. This is when they return from exile and the Persians are ruling. You've got Cambyses and Cyrus, Artaxerxes, and these are the places where they settled in the Persian period, which leads into section 11, the Hellenistic, or Alexander the Great came, the Greek period, and his generals, you know, divided the kingdom up, and you got the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, known as the Hellenistic time period, which was the Jews then fought for their freedom with the Maccabean revolt, and the Maccabeans were of the family line of the Hasmonean family line, so it becomes the Hasmonean, those Maccabean priests take on the royalty, and they become the kings, so they become both the priests and the kings, and it's the Hasmonean period. And this is now their cities, and that leads up to section 12, Herod's time period. And, of course, now in the time of Jesus and the early church, and that would continue all the way through the early Roman time period, because section 13 is the late Roman and the Byzantine. So now this would be 300 A.D., right in that time, 400 A.D. Constantine tells now everybody's Christian. Now you've got, in a sense, you've got Christians. Now this map now is no longer controlled by the Canaanites or the Jews or the Persians. It is controlled by Christians. This is now the Christian time period before the Persians come and drive them out in like 617. The Christians control this. This is the Byzantine period. The Cardo's being built or has been built, and all the churches are being identified. The next thing, section 14, we quit right there. That the late Roman and Byzantine period is where this book then ends as far as those maps. But section 14 is really something that I think is cool, especially for what we've been talking about. We're studying Jerusalem. And so now you're going to have page section 14.0. Do you see that? It's the key to major archaeological remains visible today. I kind of wish I had this book when I was putting my book together. This information somehow would have been placed in my book somehow. We would have done something. But now you can see it's all those things on there. And if you look up at the top of that page, you've got the first temple period, city walls, water supply, and it labels it 1-1. Then you come down here, you can find on your map 1-1, and you can find all these locations. The first temple period. First temple period is Solomon's temple. Second temple period would be Herod's temple period. So basically, first temple is Old Testament, second temple is New Testament, and then the Byzantine period, and then they identify all those places there on the map. And of course, this is something that you're going to want to have with you if you go to Jerusalem and you're looking for these things, because the modern city walls, what you see there, that is the modern city walls. Okay, that's the city today. So you can walk up and down the street. In fact, you can see the streets right there. And so you can walk up and down the streets and find those locations. That is the key to major archaeological remains. Turn the page, 14.1, the next one. And this is now Jerusalem in the first temple period. Now you can see that red line. The red line is the days of, well, the Old Testament. The city of David is marked. You can see that. You can find the Ophel that just goes north of it on your map now. It goes to the left. And then the Temple Mount has a wall around it. And then, of course, they had Hezekiah's expansion to the west, or to the bottom of the page. And that's that red line right there. You can see Hezekiah's tunnel, where that's at. You can see the Pool of Siloam. And then, of course, some of those things. If you notice right there, for example, right in the middle of the map where it says Hezekiah's wall, that the red line becomes a black line for just a brief, like half an inch, and has a little curve in it. That means you can see that today. That's the broad wall. I've got a photograph of that in the book. You can see it. So that wall remains today. And there's other parts that you can see. Now, if you look over there on the west wall, not the western wall of the temple, but the west wall of the city towards the bottom of the page, there's like three little black marks there. again, you can see those walls still exist today. And some of them are built right into the modern wall that's built on top of them. They're part of it. Nonetheless, that kind of explains that. Now, the next map, you've got the exact same city. You know, again, the background layer there, you can see this modern city. But now the red line is the second temple period. And you can see where they've got the going up the second wall where Agrippa had expanded up there towards what we would call the Damascus Gate, the north wall of the city today. And you can see his wall that was been excavated, or his gate underneath the Damascus Gate. And then there's that third wall that's further out. Nonetheless, that is the second temple period in all the archaeological remains. So all those things that I'm talking about and trying to show you in this book, boom, they're on here in precise location. It'd be nice if I had a map like this in the book to kind of, sometimes you get lost, you don't know where you're at in the city. This really brings it together. So that's really why I thought, man, this is pretty valuable, at least for these three, four pages right here. And then the last page is the Byzantine period, and now you can start seeing, now start thinking a Bordeaux pilgrim walking through the city of Jerusalem in 333 AD. And now you notice you can find the Cardot. You can see the Nea Church there. You know what I'm talking about? The Nea Church is going to be on kind of the right. It's the big square, kind of towards the middle of the right part of the page there. And notice it's on what would be the east side or the top side of the Cardot. And then if they had marched down the Cardot, they go right to the going to our left, or it would be going to the north on the map. They march right up to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That was one of their Easter processions. They'd started the Nea Church and marked down the Cardot to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And those things are you can still see the remains of those today. Nonetheless, that's the Byzantine time period. If you don't mind, I'm going to continue on to the index. Section 15.1, there's an index of all the alternative names, because sometimes the places have different names, and that correlates now with the next section, or it's the same section, but 15.2, turn like two pages, and there's your index of the main names. The main names of the city are listed there on the left. And then you've got all the maps. You've got the archaeological. On the top, they're broken down. The archaeological map, the middle to late bronze, or the Canaanite, the Israelite conquest. All the maps, or all the sections of the map that we just went through are on the top of the page. And then you've got the red or gray boxes indicating if it was being used, if it was occupied, things like that. And you say, well, I can't find my city on here. It's not identified. You flip back to the alternative names, find it here. It gives you the number to what city it matches with, because there may be an alternative name. Again, more information than you could possibly ever use or even care about. But I like the Jerusalem maps right here, because that's what we're talking about. And I thought the rest of it was just plain interesting, and now you've got it and no one else has. So for $3, $4, $5, I thought it was worth handing out. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
There's that alternative temple position.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Do you know why that's there?
Yeah. There's debate on the temple where it's located at, and that is there's been some work on using both aerial views of the temple, trying to read the ancient writings again, and they put it in that position right there. That is probably, if you read the Left Behind series, which you probably didn't because of your theological position, Tim LaHaye would use that theory or position of the temple to say that's why the Dome of the Rock remains and the Jews rebuild the temple and they go happily into the tribulation with both of them being there. Where if you have the other opinion like Rittmeyer, that Dome of the Rock is going to have to come down for the tribulation period unless the Jews settle on some other location for the temple.
Mm-hmm. And they take it after the sun has beat down on that area.
Yes.
And it shows what seem to be footings.
Is that over there on?
I don't know.
See, I think they've possibly used that to identify. I don't know for sure. I know they've done that, and I've never really paid attention to it. I've just kind of gone with other information.
I have searched for it since I saw it. I don't know where I saw it.
It's out there. If I find it, in fact, maybe we'll look for it tonight. But no, I know what you mean. And I'm thinking that's one of the things they've used to identify that other temple location. But that's interesting because this was made in 1979, this book. So, again, keep that in mind. This was made in 1979, so anything that's been updated in the last 30, 40 years may not be in here. But there it is. Didn't want to waste your time on that, but I thought it would be interesting. At least those Jerusalem maps, I could spend hours just looking at those Jerusalem maps. And what's nice, now that you've got this, you got that. That's why I wanted to give you a reference. I want to walk through so you know what you got in your hands. Is later on, at some point, you'll know how to find and use it. You may not know what to do with it tonight, but maybe someday you'll want to look something up. There you have it. Okay, any questions about that? Thank you for your patience and going through it. Now, let's open up our Jerusalem books to page 32. And here's what we're going to do, at least this is my plan, and please feel free to redirect this if you'd like to. But we've gone through the history of Jerusalem. We've looked at a lot of different things in the book. We've gone through the topography of Jerusalem. We understand where the Central Valley is, the Kidron Valley, the Hinnom Valley. We understand the basic walls. This is the old city of David. This is the modern city up here. And we just looked at the pictures there in that book of how Jerusalem expanded during different time periods, how it was destroyed, and Nehemiah came back and rebuilt the walls. We kind of understand. We've kind of gone over that. What I'd like to do now is actually go through the book and look at some of the details of the book. Now that you've got a kind of a foundation, if at any point you get confused and you think I don't understand what you're talking about, please interrupt me or let's keep it on track. Okay, are there any questions at this time? We're on page 32, and what I'm going to do start with, I'm going to go through the gates, the modern gates. We've referred to them, but these are the modern gates, and we're just going to go through the book. Whatever, we turn the page and go through it. We may be jumping around once in a while. Again, once we get into it, we will go through the time periods, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the Byzantine time periods like that. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started on this. Father, we thank you for the chance to look into these things. We thank you for the many resources you've provided for us. We thank you for your Spirit that leads and guides us as we look into who you are and what you've done in history. And we do ask you to keep us on track, that we would indeed keep our thoughts accurate and historical, not be getting creative and making things up. Father, we do ask you to continue to lead and guide us. And again, we thank you for this opportunity to meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we go. The modern gates. And now, these modern gates, they're not so modern because we're going to go back to 1535 when Suleiman the Magnificent from the Ottoman Empire put these walls up. Remember, they'd been torn down by some other Muslims who wanted to have access to the city so they can control the people. But now, with the different bands raiding in and taking stuff from the city and a threat of another crusade possibly from the Roman Church, Suleiman the Great decides we're going to build the walls. We talked about it last week. He wanted to include Mount Zion. He wanted to include Mount Zion down here and the city of David, but because they had some commotion and problems with the people there, they didn't want to pay their fair share. They couldn't get the money from them to expand the city around themselves. He said, fine, you can just live outside the walls of the city, which would be like living outside the realm of the military's protection. And when Suleiman came, he was very disappointed that they'd cut out that part. He executed the people, as we saw, and buried them in the tombs that are right here by the Joppa Gate. But the six gates that you see right there, it begins on page 32. Suleiman's original wall had six gates. The Damascus Gate, here's the Damascus Gate right here, a very glorious gate. Then it says the Herod's Gate right here, and I think they're probably going in order. Lion's Gate, also known as Stephen's Gate. The Golden Gate, which is actually built in the Byzantine time period, they just incorporated into the wall. The Dung Gate down here, the Zion Gate, and then the Joppa Gate. The New Gate was not going to be built until the 1800s. The New Gate was going to be put in there by the Ottoman Empire in the 1800s for two reasons. One, expansion was going outside. Houses were being built outside the city walls, and people needed to have access into this part of the city. We've got pictures of the Damascus Gate, that you can find, and I somehow I've got to get it to show you these. I've got just a ton of pictures that I've purchased through some great photographers that have collected things. Black and white photos from the 1800s, 1920s, 1930s, just showing you the city during all these different time periods. And there's just once we get a handle on the city, it's just amazing to go back and look at all these same places, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and stuff in the 1800s or 1920. It doesn't really change except the surroundings around, the people look different and stuff. Kind of interesting. But anyway, They're living outside the city, and so they want to put this access here. They just made a hole in the wall. Also, the Russian compound out here, where Russian Christians would come and stay here and wanted to visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, they put this in there for the people that lived up here and the Russians that wanted to come see the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. What I was getting ready to say, I forgot, was we got pictures of this entire area here being just a field, just a bare field. And with a photo of the Damascus Gate. And now, busy, this is a busy highway right here, and all these houses are up in here. Nonetheless, those are the six gates. They were all originally L-shaped gates, like this. The Joppa Gate itself is still an L-shaped gate. Here's the city wall. The gate looks like this. And when I say gate, I mean, it's such a strange term for us to say gate. I think it's something that swings. You walk up, push the gate open, and walk in. It's like a fortified wall with a hole in it. And so you come in, like for example, you come in the Joppa Gate, turn, and go in. That's how you enter. And the reason it was designed like that was for military. Of course, these would be blocked off. They wouldn't be open during a time of attack, or maybe even at night they'd close them. But if there's ever an attack, they'd always attack the gate. It's the weakest point. And if they could break in the gate and they'd just flood into the city, well, if the gate looked like this and they broke in, the army just floods in. Here, they've got to at least come in and turn and go left. It's the last line of defense. Is they've got to turn and come in. You can start fighting them one more time right here. So there's a military as part of the strategy of the wall. And so they're all built in an L-shaped gate. I probably got it written here. But Joppa Gate is still L-shaped. Zion Gate is still L-shaped. The Dung Gate is not. That was a gate that was for people. What it's called the word I've got in here, it's for people, pedestrians. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Golden Gate was built by the Byzantines, so that's a straight shot, but that was sealed off. Lion's Gate was an L-shaped gate. Herod's Gate was an L-shaped gate, and Damascus Gate is still an L-shaped gate. Damascus is still L-shaped, Joppa's L-shaped, and Zion's L-shaped yet today. Okay, going on quickly. The Jaffa Gate, it's called Jaffa or Joppa. The reason for that is the city of Joppa is to the west. It opens up and goes towards the city there. And Joppa or Jaffa is acceptable for terms. I tended to call it Joppa, but I think Jaffa is the most known. It's also known in Arabic as Bab el-Hilal, however you say that, which means the gate of the friend. It also opens towards Hebron, where Abraham came from. Abraham was the friend of God, so it's the friend gate, or gate of the friend. The wall south of the Jaffa Gate between the gate and the citadel was removed in 1898. So if you look at that picture on the top right of the page there, well, let's do this. Let's look at the first picture there, the one on the left side at the bottom. That is looking at the Jaffa Gate from this angle right here. You go in and turn and go into the city. That's Tony walking in the gate right there. And there's a guy selling bread. He's got a little bread cart there. It's evening, and they sell bread he's always there selling bread, little bread that they make in the morning. Tony's going to walk in the gate, turn left, and go into the city. Now, and you can notice right above it, there's a place for the oil to be poured out on the army or the military as they're attacking, trying to beat in the gate. They could be dumping oil down on them, or boiling water, and also you can see the arrows loops where they'd shoot arrows out. Okay, now, the top picture on the top right, where the car's at, and then that little building there, that's the Joppa Gate. Okay, that's the Joppa Gate. Tony would have been on the other side coming into that, you know, up towards the left side of the picture and going out. What's interesting, there's a hole in the wall. There's a hole right there in the wall, just south of the Joppa Gate. Way to the right of the picture is the citadel. And the citadel is what you see on the front of your book cover. That's the citadel, the big picture. That's the citadel. That's what you're looking at. That's the beginning of the citadel there. And what they've got right there, there used to be, and there's photos of it. There's still photos that you can see, and I don't have the rights to them, so I couldn't put them in the book. But that used to be a moat. In fact, you can still see a moat around the citadel where the water was. And that moat extended up a little bit further, and there's a short little wall right above the moat. So you either a smaller wall and then a moat. So it's kind of like impossible to attack there because you had to go through this moat, this deep water, to get into the city. Well, what ends up happening, and if we read down here, in 1898, Ottoman Sultan Abdulhamid II to allow his ally, Kaiser Wilhelm II of Germany. So we're in 1898. And there's always been a tradition, you know the story, that the Messiah is going to come in the Eastern Gate. And so that's why it's been blocked shut since the Crusaders left. When the Crusaders were driven out, the first thing, well, even let's go way back. When the Crusaders took over, they blocked it shut and only opened the Eastern Gate up. Now we're talking about this gate, the Golden Gate, Eastern Gate. The Crusaders would only open it up for Easter and another Christian holiday at the time. Easter, you know what Easter is, but they had another one called the Procession of the Cross or something. I don't know much about it. But they'd unblock it twice a year and use it for their Christian exercises, and then they'd block it shut again so the Jews couldn't use it for their political purposes, like bringing some kind of a politician in and saying he's going to be the new Messiah or great leader. So that was blocked shut. Over here on this side, there's also a tradition or a legend that the conqueror of the city from the west, the European conqueror, would come in the Joppa Gate. So when Wilhelm II was going to come in, the Ottoman leader, to help kind of oblige this, doesn't want him coming in the Joppa Gate, because that would fulfill this legend, this prophecy, and Wilhelm would be from Germany. He's now come to conquer Jerusalem. So what he did, he filled the moat in. He just covered in the moat, put a road over it. So when Wilhelm showed up with his carriage, they says, "Come on in the Joppa Gate." And Wilhelm came in over the moat that had been covered up and did not enter through the Joppa Gate. So in a sense, the ally came in, but yet he didn't really fulfill the prophecy, and everybody knew that this guy wasn't the real deal because he didn't come in the gate. But in 1917, now we're at the end of World War I, the British General Allenby, and there's photos of this, there's photos of him walking in. He walks right in through the Joppa Gate and goes into the Citadel, which is just to the south, in that picture right there, and gave a speech on the steps of the Citadel, kind of fulfilling that prophecy, and so ends, truly, the Ottoman Empire with the coming of the British. So that prophecy, in a sense, was fulfilled. It's just kind of, not biblical, but just kind of something that was hanging there. And so that took place there. And now, since then, the Ottoman Empire has been trying to rebuild itself. The Jaffa Gate was the focus of Israel's forces in 1948. So now when Israel comes in, remember, we talk about East Jerusalem. Sometimes you hear about East Jerusalem in the news and West Jerusalem. Israel, or the Jews, had West Jerusalem, which comes right up to this wall, basically, in a sense. This is West Jerusalem, but they couldn't have East Jerusalem. So when you hear some brilliant politician talking about, let's go back to the 1948 plans or the boundaries of 1948 or something like this, they're talking about giving this entire city back to the Muslims, which, so much for archaeology and it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just archaeology. It's not like it's the Word of God. It's just kind of something fun to be aware of. But we don't really want to turn this whole area just back to all of the biblical Jerusalem back over to someone who wants to cover it up and rewrite history. But nonetheless, in 1948, and that's what it was until 1967, the Jordanians, Jordan on the other side, the Jordanians controlled this city. The Jews controlled over here. So there's always fighting and forces here on this western wall. These two gates had to be closed. The Zion Gate and the Joppa Gate had to be closed, and they couldn't be used. And the Jordanians, that's when they began bringing cars in through the Dung Gate. We'll talk about that when they get there. Because once that moat had been filled in, you can see today, they drive in there. That's a road. Coming right up out of the Hinnom Valley, that's a road going right in through the Joppa Gate or over the moat. And that's still there today. You can drive on it even today. So that's a little bit of history about that. The next one, the Zion Gate. So we're still talking about 1948. Now we move down to here. Remember, 1948, this is the boundary. So the Zion Gate was a source of fighting. When Israel was trying to get access to the Holy City, there's a lot of fighting here between the Jordanians and the Israelites, and that's what you see right there. All those bullet holes, the second picture on page 33, those are from artillery fire from 1948. You can see it. You can obviously just walk around and see it. That's what it's from, 1948, as they're fighting to get in there. Again, there's Tony standing in front of the Zion Gate. There seems like there's always Jewish troops there in the gate. I mean, not all the time, but so often there's Israeli soldiers right there. And as it were, Tony standing there looking at the Zion Gate. She's looking up at where the oil comes out. I'm not sure what she's looking at. But if she would walk in that gate and turn right, she'd walk into the city. That's, again, an L-shaped gate. And I've got online some pictures of us going through that gate a couple times, and there's cars continually coming out of there. And it's a gate. You know, it's not that much room. So cars go in, back up, go forward, back up. And the whole time you're waiting, and then finally the car, you try to go in, and here comes another car. And so, you know, it's not always, but there might be three cars backed up trying to go through there. So they used that. Since 1967, when the Jews took over the city here, okay, that's enough of that. I was going to say, remember how that all happened, but...
Why are they wondering
that? So they can drive into the old city. Today you can drive in the Joppa Gate and go out the Zion Gate. You can drive in the Lion's Gate, and I think you can go back out the Lion's Gate. So you can drive in and out here. You can drive in and out here, and there's narrow roads. You know, it's like one-way traffic. And there's times, I tried to get a picture of it one time, and I was just coming back at the end of the day, and I've come back, and here comes a tour bus. I mean, it's like the mirrors are like just inches away from the, and it's like coming, it's like, and you're like, you're trying to find a doorway to get because the tour bus is coming. Not fast, of course. They're just like, he's not, but here comes a tour bus. And then it's like, what are you going to do? How are you going to get? And it's just this life, you know. It's not 235. And then the Dung Gate, you can drive into Dung Gate here. There's a parking lot right in here, too, so you can come in the Dung Gate. But that was expanded by the Jordanians, I think, in 1948, because these gates were closed because of the conflict. This Lion's Gate wasn't, and we're going to get to this here in a moment. This Lion's Gate wasn't an L-shaped gate. You'd come in and go this way. You'd turn, go left or go south. And what they did, they just kicked in the back door. They just broke out back. So now it's just a straight shot in. They just broke out the back of the gate, so you just drive right on in. So the Lion's Gate now is like that.
How big is this area?
Acres.
Let me say.
Is it all walkable?
Oh, yeah. Yep. If I remember right, does anybody remember? I forget this information for some reason. I think this is like 15 acres here, the City of David and the Temple Mound. But yeah, to walk from, every morning, we have class, for example, here at Jerusalem University on Mount Zion. And we get up, we stay right here at the Gloria Hotel, or a place right up here in the corner. And a lot of times, if you're fortunate, you get your room right up there on the top, and you just right out the aero loop, you look out and watch the city through the aero loop there. But every morning we get up, walk down the winding roads, come out the Joppa Gate, walk along the city wall, and it's 5 minutes. I mean, it's not 20 minutes. It's not a 20-minute walk, maybe 10 minutes.
It's interesting. The Muslim quarter has three gates in it. The other quarters, I mean, there's like one.
Oh, right.
It seems like it's real dominant up there, in and out of the city much more up there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's... by design, I mean, because when they built it in 1530s, it was... Armenians still have always had a presence here. Armenians always have been there. Yeah, this is the biggest, this is most heaviest populated. Most people live here.
And that's the Muslim?
The Muslim quarter, yep. Yep. Tony doesn't like going in there. She's a little, they've got their incense going, and they have their music and their culture. But, yeah, we went there several times. In fact, I got a picture that was in the Des Moines Register of Tony standing in front of there, in front of the Damascus Gate on the inside in the Muslim quarter. But it's heavily guarded. There's Jewish soldiers everywhere. Because, again, it's Jewish, it's occupied by the Jews. The Jews actually have control of the Temple Mound if they would take it. I mean, it's in their jurisdiction, but they don't enforce. In fact, to get up on the Temple Mount, you've got to go through Jewish guards to get to the Temple Mount. But the Muslims control it because the Jews just haven't made an issue out of it, because they just don't want the riots and everything that's going to come with it. So just kind of, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stories about riots when they were doing the Western Wall tunnels. People were killed and stuff because the Jews have a right to do that, but they got to deal with the riots. Does that help at all?
And actually, when you walk around there, you really don't see the distinction too much, other than you smell the incense or something like that.
Right.
mean, you're walking around, they all look the same to me, you know? These shops, and it's all...
Right. Now, you know, they'll be dressed in the Muslim garb. They'll be dressed more modern down here, but you'll see some Orthodox Jews down in here. And then you're going to have the Christian quarter up here. And the thing is, they still will be Palestinian. This is not like white European Christian quarter. You know, this is the Christian quarter, and it's Palestinian. So, I mean, they're Palestinian Christians. So, you're right. It's not like this is the white European section, you know. This is the Orthodox Jews that always have black on, and these are over here the Muslims. So, again, they're the same peoples. You know, they're just what groups are you in?
Your first paragraph on first page one, it says the city of David took from the Jebusites in 1005 B.C. was 10 acres in size with a population of 2,000. We have 13 acres. I cannot imagine 2,000 people on it.
Okay.
They must have just been like apartment buildings just stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, I think if you look in this article to Jerusalem, I think they draw the city on different layers, and they have walls, because they come down in the Kidron Valley, and they'd have different walls. So you'd live inside the wall, then you begin building outside the wall, they build another wall. So, I mean, they kept just drifting down in the Kidron Valley. Yeah, so what do you say? This is 10 acres? You said the city of David's 10 acres. And then I think this is like another 13 or 15 acres, so maybe it's 25 acres altogether. I'm not sure if that's helping. It's not that big. I should know that. I'm sorry, I just don't know that off the top of my head. I've looked it up so many times, and it just seems like I just forget it. Okay, any other questions? We're looking at the Zion Gate. The Zion Gate in the Aramaic language is called the Gate of David, or Gate of the Prophet David, and this is a huge error, because the early Christians, they found the Crusaders and others on Mount Zion, they thought this was Mount Zion. I mean, they're making stuff up. This is Mount Zion, that's why it's called Mount Zion, and this is where they said they found the tomb of David. Well, okay, now you understand why that's not, that'd be like burying David out in, you know, the back 40 acres on the other side of, you know, the section, when he was buried. Well, right here is the scripture. This is interesting. 2 Kings 2:10. Then David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Now, I haven't made copies of it yet, and I haven't got any information in the book about it, but down in this area here, for the last 30, 40 years, they've been excavating, and they found some tombs down here that were some very important tombs. And so they're pretty confident this is where David was buried, down here in this section of tombs. Now watch this. And again, you read the book of Acts, and you read the New Testament, you read it for theology, you read it for history, but look at this. This is now 30 AD. This is after the Babylonian destruction. This is after Nehemiah has rebuilt the walls. This is after the Hellenistic period and all the things that took place there. Peter is standing on the Temple Mount, and he's preaching. He says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day." He doesn't say, "And we know he was buried in this city somewhere." He says, "You know his tomb's here today." It's like he's making a statement. Because remember, David writes, "My flesh will not see decay. You'll not let your Holy One see decay," like this. And so it's like, he says, clearly, he says, David says that, but his tomb is here today. You've visited. You've taken the kids down and seen David's tomb. So again, Peter was standing here in 30 AD talking about David's tomb being somewhere. So this probably was still intact at that time period, which is kind of interesting to look at it all the way from an archaeological point of view. So they call this in Arabic the Gate of the Patriarch David, but because this is where David's tomb. You can go see it today. You can go see David's tomb here on Mount Zion in one of the churches, and it is not David's tomb. It's always called it that. This was one of the sources of remember last week we talked about the Pope, when the Jews started coming back in the, you know, the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, there were some problems. No. Would that be right? But anyway, there were some problems with the Jews arguing with the Christians about access to David's tomb. So the Pope just says, no more Jews can come and cause you too much problem. But they're arguing about this, and they're all completely wrong. Okay, that's enough of that. We look at this. The Zion Gate and the Jaffa Gate were closed from 1948 to 1967. Okay, that's good on that page. Turn to page 34. We move along the wall to the Dung Gate right here. The Dung Gate, again, this is 1530. So again, you can't. This is not biblical history here, because this was built in the 1530s. The Dung Gate was probably just exactly that, called that, because right in this area is where they had the livestock. They had livestock right here. And they take the dung out, of course, right here. There's a gate, and I don't have it here in this page. There's a gate. I'll go back and show it to you here in a minute. There's a gate right beside there. Here it is. It's a postern. Here's the word I'm looking for. P-O-S-T-E-R-N. A postern gate. And a postern gate is a gate that's designed for people to walk out. It's designed, many times it's a hidden gate, so that when the city's going under siege and they're attacking the main gates, there'll be this little gate for people, be covered up with brush or something, that at night, you know, while they're attacking someone else, they just start filing out of this little gate and get out of the city. Or it was just a place for passengers or pedestrians. And the Dung Gate wasn't that, at one point, was a postern gate. And you can see that in that picture, page 34, the picture at the top. It was widened in 1953 by the Jordanians, because in 1948 this was closed, and this was closed because the Jews are attacking and putting pressure on them here, and they can't get their cars in. And so they widened this gate so they could bring cars in, and ever since that time they've been driving cars in there. And you can see how the gate has been widened. Can you see that? That little arch at the top, that is original 1530, the little decoration, and it would have just came right down, and the door jams would have come straight down off that arch. But notice the door jams are, you know, about 3 feet, 4 feet wider on each side. And the reason for that is for the cars. They did that in 1953. That's the Dung Gate. Right beside this Dung Gate, I was going to say, is called, there's another postern gate, is a little, is called the Tanner's Gate. I'll show you that here in a little bit. It's still a little gate there for the tanners, because the Dung Gate, where they took the dung out, but the tanners then set up business right here, because when they butchered the cattle, they'd take the skin or the hide, tan it, and that was the Tanner's Gate. So you can still see the remains of the and this would be, you know, in the 1600s, the businesses there of the Muslims, the Ottoman Empire, of the cattle were here, the dung went out, and the tanners would take the carcass or the hide and tan it. Okay, that's the Dung Gate. We now continue on around here, and we come up to the Golden Gate, and the Golden Gate was built from 640 to 705 AD. Now, this is different than the rest of the city walls. This gate was there, built by the Byzantines, and it just remained intact for some reason. It hadn't been destroyed, and so when Suleiman's architects came to that, they just built it in and kept right on going. So this gate was not built. This gate will not match the Damascus Gate or the Joppa Gate, and in one sense, it doesn't match because it's not an L-shaped gate. You just walk right in. In fact, I think on the next page, I don't have it in here. I don't know why. Do I have it? I don't have it. Online, I've got some pictures from the inside. And I must have some pictures somewhere in the book, because I know I've got them here somewhere. They're online. In fact, someone was just doing an article for a magazine in Texas. And they emailed me and wanted my pictures, permission to use my pictures for all high-resolution pictures. So I sent them like 8-9 pictures of the Golden Gate inside, outside. Because they got some pretty good pictures, they said. I was flattered. And from the inside, that you can see certain things. And you can see the Byzantine design and architecture in this Golden Gate.
On page 35, the photo of the Golden Gate looks across from Mount Lodge. I assume that's using a zoom lens.
Yes. Oh, yes. Right, yes. Yeah, do you want to see a better picture of that? Let me see if I can find a better picture of that.
Those are electrical wires hanging there. You see those lines?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Okay, here we go. We're getting close. Go to page 115, Bob. And that's not showing the Golden Gate yet, but that's the same wall. I just haven't got there. But 115, the Golden Gate is just to the right of that photo. And that is a picture from the Mount of Olives of that same eastern wall. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So that's pretty much what it would look like.
That may be, that's a better look of what it looks like. And again, I've got a picture somewhere in here of that Golden Gate from the Mount of Olives. But that's definitely a zoom. You're not that close to it. Good question. Kind of gives you perspective.
Does the Golden Gate go up on the Temple Mount, or does it go underneath the Temple Mount?
It goes right in. The Temple Mount, you're standing on the Temple Mount looking down at it. So, I mean, it's, if you see it, if you look, okay, look inside there, Right behind, can you see that little, it looks like a little fence coming right off the top of the wall on the left side of the Golden Gate on the inside. I'm on page 35 again. I'm on page 35. And you've got the Golden Gate, that's that box. Look behind it, right along the wall line on the left side of the Golden Gate. Then you see a little, it looks like a little pedestrian fence. You know, this would be like a little wrought iron fence. It's kind of white or grayish looking.
But you're looking down at it as a tourist.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That railing right there, you're standing on that. That's where you'd stand and look at the railing and look down at the Golden Gate. So, yeah, so right about there. Okay, and you see those little squares? I'm not sure what you'd call, but how the gate or the wall goes like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like an old medieval, and that's when it was built in the medieval times. When you stand on the Temple Mount, you just walk right up and look. This is me taking a picture. You know, I'm just standing right there. So the Temple Mount on the other side is right about here. Is that, yeah, that you know what I'm saying? That's what you guys think too? You can't, yeah. We actually today you just look, you just look down at the Golden Gate and you can't. Yeah, that little fence that you can see back there. Yeah, you can take pictures, you can stand on it, but you crawl over to the other side. Yeah. In fact, me and Tony were talking and I says, "Don't we shouldn't." I says, "Because I mean someone's listening to us." I mean they could have the place, you know, mic. Because I know in certain places we went with Carl, we'd get to certain places. We'd be up in Galilee, just out in the country somewhere, stop and look over into, we're looking over into Jordan. And he says, leave your cameras on the bus. Don't even lift them up to the window. He says, and just let me do the talking because they're listening to us right now. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And it's like all the smart-aleck comments, you know, it's like, just had to hold them in, you know, because you wanted to say something smart, you know, and you shouldn't, obviously, you know, something. But anyway, yeah, and so right now, yeah, so that's, yeah, you don't mess around there.
So those gates don't go into nothing then?
Well, they go. If you could walk in, you'd walk in, and you'd be in the Temple Mount. But the Temple Mount would be up there. There's some. I don't know if there must be stairs. I'm looking here. Okay, here we go. I'm getting closer. Okay, page 231. Now on page 231. That first picture, don't worry about the first picture, the first column of pictures, but on page 231, the two pictures on the right side of the page. Now, I'm standing inside the Golden Gate, up above, I'm on the Temple Mound, and I'm looking right into the... Okay, you see this picture on page 34 right here, this picture? You see this right here? I'm on the outside looking at the Golden Gate. This picture on the top of right, I'm on the exactly on the other side, looking right back at it from the other angle. So, where you could, if you'd walk in these two arches right here that you can see on this page 34, that is where you'd come through right there. And again, you see those little what we call post-turn little gates that were for pedestrians to come in. You can go in there. Obviously, you know the Muslims can go do whatever they want to down there, but and that's where that you come in level right there. But the Temple Mount is that high, so there must be some steps. Then the bottom page on page 231, there I've zoomed in. I've got up on the railings and I'm kind of taking a picture down at it. And that's just on the other side of that is the Kidron Valley. So that's the Golden Gate. And again, that was built 647-10 A.D. That is not built by Suleiman the Great or the Magnificent. That was built by at the end of the Byzantine Empire. It's got some Byzantine design in it and stuff. I don't recognize that, but that's what I've been told. It's Byzantine design.
That's
that fence that you can come up to and stand by. Okay, let's go back to page 34, the Golden Gate. Yeah, I got there on that page. The Golden Gate was kept blocked by the Crusaders. It was twice a year was unblocked, Palm Sunday in the spring, and a fall festival called the Exaltation of the Cross. I know nothing about that. The gate has not been unblocked since 1187, the last years of the Crusaders, when they would unblock it twice a year. But that blocking has been there since 1187, has been unblocked. And remember, well, here, on page 35 now, behind the black metal fence, and you can see the black metal fence on page 34, as you're looking at the wall, the gate, on page 34, there's a black metal fence going around there. You see what I'm talking about? That black metal fence wasn't always there, but in 1967, I think it was 1969. James Fleming, this is what I was talking about earlier, and I passed out an article that's got a picture of it. But that picture that's in that article was a very recent kid, because James Fleming went there in 1969, and he was out there walking on those tombs. And again, it's kind of just kind of like, what were you doing? He was going to the university, Jerusalem University College here on Mount Zion. I'm not sure if Carl Rasmussen was teaching the class, but Carl Rasmussen knows him. And he was out there walking on those tombs, and it was raining, and the ground caved in underneath him, and he was down in a hole underneath that gate. You know, the gate would be like on that wall back there, but he fell into a hole, and now he can't see the gate anymore, but he's looking at what's underneath the gate, and there's a gate underneath the gate. And that's what you see in that picture. And so he snapped two pictures, and there's bones in the picture. I don't have a picture of it. There's the links on page 35, the bottom of the right column. I've got two. I just typed them in there. They're no good for you. You got to retype the whole thing. But those are two URL addresses for the two pictures that he took. Now, if you just Google James Fleming Golden Gate, you'll find it. It's not that hard. They're floating around online different places. I just couldn't take it and steal it and put it in the book without trying to get permission, and I didn't want to bother with that. So anyway, there it is. But anyway, you can see the, just like what you see on that little handout I gave you. Then recently, I'm rambling on here. What happened then was, when, as soon as he posted those pictures, said, hey, I found the gate underneath the Golden Gate. This is going to be then the Herodian Gate, but Josephus records that Herod didn't need to rebuild the Eastern Gate because it never had been knocked completely down. Which means if there is a gate underneath there, it would be Solomon's Gate of the temple. I mean, it's an ancient gate. And this gate that's on top is from 640, 710 AD. So it's like, well, what's underneath it? Well, before the Byzantine was the age of the Romans that destroyed Jerusalem, and before that was Herod. So the Romans didn't build a gate. It would have been Herod's gate. But Josephus says Herod didn't rebuild this gate. He rebuilt everything, but not that gate. So that means the gate that was left there would be Nehemiah's gate that Nehemiah built, or possibly going way back to Solomon's day. So, and it's there. Recently, and I don't have this in the book, but I handed the article out, it's been told, I didn't finish my story. Once James Fleming released those photos, all of a sudden, a big concrete slab was poured down in front of that gate, and a black fence was placed up around there. You can't go in here. And so it's lost. James Fleming was the only one to see it, and he snapped two pictures of it. And in one of the pictures, you can see bones, just layers of bones, you know, piles of bones, and he's snapping a photo. And he got two pictures. So everybody said, you can't see this any longer. You can't see this any longer. Well, that article I just handed out to you, every kid that goes over there, well, every 50-year-old man that goes over there, wants to find that and snap a photo of it. But you know, you're running a risk. Well, you can't do it, so no one even tries. No one even tries because it's all been concrete. The article I handed you, this kid at Jerusalem University, I wish I could see. So he went out there and looked around himself and realized that that concrete slab was there, but the dirt is kind of, you know, eroded away. And there's a hole, you know, underneath. So it's like, sticks his camera down in the hole, snap, and you've got a copy of that. That's the photo he just recently took. There's probably a date on the bottom of that article. What is the date on that article? Is there
March, April 2008.
Okay, 2008. So I was there in 2007, was the first time I heard that story. 2008. See, what was I thinking? I should have went for it. You know, he just stuck the camera, you know, on that concrete slab that was covering up. You can't see this any longer. Well, he rode it away enough. He didn't go down to the hole. He goes, man, I don't know what's in there. But James Fleming says there's a wall. Snap. And there's what you got right there. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'm going to show you something else in just a minute. Yes, go ahead.
So if the gate is below this gate,
mm-hmm.
How many feet? You know?
No, that's a good question.
Well, then, is the Temple Mount, is that also built up?
Oh, yes. Yep.
So that's not the original?
No, those are pavings that's been built up, just like everything has been built up.
So the original temple might have been where the where the Dome of the Rock is, but it would be feet down.
Right. Even if you look in the Dome of the Rock, and again, I've never been there. We can't go in there. And there's the rock that the dome's built around, where Muhammad ascended to heaven or whatever. But that's probably where the ark sat. But when you go in there, it's not like you don't just walk up to it. You're still looking down at it.
Oh.
I mean, it's not like way down there in a hole, but it's again.
So that, the current Temple Mount, the current paved area, was that Roman?
Probably not. Probably Muslim. Yeah, it's probably when the Muslim, because the Romans destroyed it. The Christians did nothing with it. And so the Muslims were the one that came in and actually renovated it.
Okay.
So yeah, the Christians would have done anything to it, because anything to rebuild the Temple Mount proves Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Because Jesus, there won't be one stone left. So this is like, they put their garbage up there. That was just proof the Jews are gone and we're now running the world. So the Muslims came in. Probably most everything on there was Muslim. Okay, I want you to go to page 39, and we're going to jump ahead just a moment. And this helps you get a perspective of what I'm talking about here. We're looking at the Damascus Gate. On page 38, we're looking at the Damascus Gate. Okay? And this is the Damascus Gate up here. Now notice how close they are. Okay? Running. And again, these wall lines, these are walls, 1530 walls. But they're following, as we know, in many cases, they're following the same wall line that Solomon followed or Herod followed or the Hasmoneans. It's the same wall line. It's not the same wall, but the same wall line in many cases. Sometimes they build right on the same wall. So now we're at, not Herod's Gate. We're at the Damascus Gate. And on page 38, you're looking at the Damascus Gate. But what they did, they excavated that. We talked about this before. They've excavated, and that bridge right there isn't normally a bridge. Back in those photos, the black and white photos, you've got the Damascus Gate, there's the wall, and then there's ground. And you've got a field, and there's nothing there. They got permission somehow, and they excavated down underneath the Damascus Gate. Well, they built that bridge so you could go down. Now look on page 39. And you can see that bridge walking into the Damascus Gate, but everything underneath it, that's not the basement. Just cover that, cover everything up underneath that bridge. That's what it used to look like. Now we move your hand, they excavated. What's underneath it? Oh my gosh, there's another wall. And that wall and that molding down there on the floor and the jams, on that little post-turn gate, the molding down there coming up, that is 60 A.D. That's Herod Agrippa's work right there. Oh, excuse me, 41 to 44 A.D. The door jams are 41 to 44 A.D. That's Herod Agrippa's first century gate, because he expanded. Remember, when Jesus was crucified, the city kind of cut off like this, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre goes outside the city walls. Herod Agrippa, 41, 44 A.D., expanded up here and built this wall and put that gate right there. Well, it was covered up with rubble, the wars, the battles. And then in 1530, we're talking 1500 years after this wall and gate was built, then Solomon the Magnificent says, let's rebuild the walls, and he builds the Damascus Gate and just builds right over the top of what was already there. That gives you a perspective of what's underneath the Golden Gate. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that photograph's not like, well, because when I first heard that story, it's like, what? There's a gate underneath the gate? How's this work? I thought we were looking at the Golden Gate. Well, then you see this right here, you begin to understand, indeed, it was built on top. So this gate is underneath. So that's what the Golden Gate would be like. Does that kind of explain that, make sense? And it's kind of neat because, it'd be fun to go down there and excavate that and find that. It could be, it for sure is Herod's Gate. It could be Nehemiah's Gate. It could go back as far as Solomon's original Eastern Gate. It'd be fun to excavate it. Obviously, things are going to have, the political climate's going to have to change. Muslims, yeah. Yep, the Muslims covered up because it's not, there's nothing here. Do not look at the man behind the curtain. There's nothing here. So, next June, Roger, you and me going to grab our cameras? We're going to go down there and find it.
Do we know what's behind that door down there? I mean, is it?
Oh, the Damascus Gate? Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about that. Yes, and I didn't go down there, but you can go down there, and it's just everything's laid out. You can see different parts of it. I'm going to read this right here so I can read what I've got here. A small pedestrian entrance is seen in this photo. It's located below and to the east of the Damascus Gate. The pedestrian gate is its lower date from the time of Herod Agrippa when he expanded the city. The large gate and the smaller gate at this he built a larger gate and the smaller gate at this location. There's a larger gate yet that you can't see here. The main walls and gate were destroyed by Hadrian in 135 AD. So that's part of the rubble. It was there, and that was all knocked down when the Jews revolted and the Romans came in and knocked it all down. So that's why a lot of that stuff was torn down to just the door jams. It was all buried. But this small pedestrian gate, its tower and molding on the lower half of the gate and the molding along the base of the tower still remain from Herod Agrippa's original 41 AD. The arch and capping stone are from Hadrian's restoration in 135 AD. After destroying the city wall in 135, okay, you created the city. Okay, in the next paragraph. Excavating under today's Damascus Gate has revealed a variety of finds from Jerusalem's history, and you can go see this, including base molding similar to the molding on each side of the small pedestrian gate. So that molding continues for, there's a whole area there that you can go. You can go in and go to your right, and it's all like the original pavement stone. You can still see there. You just wonder how much more. I mean, the whole this was way up here. I mean, you could excavate the whole city until there's nothing left. I mean, that's, now you got to decide, we just dig the whole city up, make it into an amusement park, or, you know, whatever. Molding, a stone with the mark of the 10th Legion is also visible when the 10th Roman Legion was living in that area, along with the paving stones from the first century. Hadrian, or an emperor who followed him, placed a large victory column in the middle of the plaza. Now that victory column is gone, but right there, as you came out of this gate, there's a big main road coming up. There's a big column right there, the victory column of 135 when he defeated the Jews. Now go to page 192. Remember that? Go to page 192.
That column isn't there.
The column is not there, no.
Do they have pieces of it?
I don't think so. The best we got right here. Okay, I hope. Is this okay? Are you guys okay? Are you still enjoying this? You're still here. Okay. I mean, I really like doing this, so I don't know. I just start meandering and rambling, and people going, "What's he talking about?" Okay, now 192. Remember this, the Madaba map, 500 AD. It's during the Byzantine time period. It's on the other side of the Jordan River in a place called Madaba. It's in a church. We've talked about it. It's a large map, like it'd be sitting on this whole floor. It's the base of a church, the floor of a church, a mosaic. And they couldn't be in the Holy Land, so they designed or they made a picture of the Holy Land in their church. They get Jerusalem. This is the holy city. Remember, Constantine 325, he's building the New Jerusalem. So in their mind, this is the New Jerusalem. Talk about eschatology getting twisted. This is the New Jerusalem that Constantine built. And you should be able to recognize some things out here, right? You know, the Nea Church and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I've got them kind of circled there. Can you kind of see that? You know what I'm talking about. And then you know I talk about the Cardo. You know what the Cardo is? That's that road running east and or north and south down the middle going this way. And you've got those little black marks on both sides of the Cardo. And those are those columns. Actually, the columns would be the little white pillars. Do you see what I'm talking about? Yeah, the black spots are not. Okay, now you go to the way to the right, you're going to go out of town. There, go past the Siloam Church, the Pool of Siloam is down there. But now start going to the left, past the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which they got right in the middle of the city. Go right to the left, and you're going to go right out the gate, Hadrian's Gate, or the Damascus Gate, before the Damascus Gate was there. So again, this is 1,000 years before the Damascus Gate was built. So this means that gate is that gate that we're looking at as being excavated. And then you see that black chess piece sitting right there at the end of the Cardo. That is the victory column. We don't have it, but it's recorded as being there. And on this map, it's a big deal. They got the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Nea Church, all these things, but they also have that victory column. And you can kind of see how the road widens out into more of like a plaza, you know, an open area as you go out the gate. And that's what's underneath there. So when we look at that picture of what's underneath the Damascus Gate, this is what they're excavating and trying to find. And they found that pavement. They found the molding around the bottom. And they locate. They know where the victory column was at, but the victory column is probably someone took it and something, but they haven't found it, that, as far as I know. Does that all make sense? You understand what we just did right there? Okay, let's go back and My, my. Let's finish. What is it? Is it? Okay, we... Let me just look at this very quickly. Go to page 36. I'll do this very quickly. You've got 36. You've got the Lion's Gate right here, also called Stephen's Gate. Pretty sure that's the same location of where it was in Jesus' day or Stephen's day. And Stephen would have probably been taken out that gate in stone right in this area. Tradition teaches that. Logic teaches that. And it sounds like that's probably the gate he came out. And when you're looking at the Lion's Gate there, you're looking on the outside, looking straight in. Now remember, that's originally an L-shaped gate. You'd walk in and turn to your left to go into the city. But they kicked out the back so they could drive cars in that. And the British did that. When did the British do that? I got a date here somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, if you go over on page 37, the top left picture there is, you're looking at it right there. If you go in and look to your, go into the Lion's Gate and look to your left, that's what you see right there. That is the original way of going into the city, part of the L Gate. And at the very top of that picture, you see I've got a little inscription, or I got a little typing there about an inscription. Right above that part of the gate, there's a little plaque, and it basically says it's dated 945, or that would be the year 1538, 1539 for our year. So that's dated. Mentioning Solomon the Great built this wall, and the year their year was 945, or our year 1538 was when that monument was put up there, that inscription was put there on the Lion's Gate. Also, it's called Lion's Gate because there's two lions on it. You can see on the bottom of page 36, on the bottom right, there's one of the lions. There's two lions on both sides. If you look at the original picture I've got there on page 36 on the left, there's two lions on both sides of the gate. Can you see them there? They're facing each other. And then they got a little detail of it there. And again, all these pictures, I've got them online on my website, so they're color, they're clear, they're bigger. The lion was one of the signs of the Muslim dynasty that was ruling, that was defeated, and they kind of took that. It probably has nothing to do with the tribe, lion of the tribe of Judah, probably nothing to do biblically. It's more of Muslim. Herod's Gate, that's on page 37. That's right here. We come around the corner, there's Herod's Gate. It's also called the Flower Gate because there's a flower on the gate, right above it, straight above it. It was... originally, if you see the picture on page 37, you came in from the left side in one of these postern gates. Well, it was a bigger gate, then they had a smaller gate underneath, also called a wicket gate, that they could open and come in, kind of like a postern gate in the gate. So this hole in the opening that you come straight in, that really isn't original. The gate used to come in on the left side and turn like an L and come in. Do you understand what I'm saying there? And anyway, it says the opening we see today was actually cut in the front gate in 1875 by the Ottoman Empire. Originally, the gate talks about that. And that is the Herod Gate. Then the Damascus Gate, we've talked about that. The Damascus Gate is really the cool gate. That's the cool-looking gate. And I didn't get as good a picture as I wanted. I got home, and I didn't have as good a picture as I really wanted of the Damascus Gate. And then finally, now we come across, those are the six original gates. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think we're counting. This one wasn't built by Solomon. So one, yeah. Seven gates. The Golden Gate wasn't built by Solomon. And then now this gate right here, the new gate. Not much of a gate. It's a hole in the wall. It was put there in 1887 by the Ottomans so that people could come in that were building outside the city walls and the Russian complex up here so you could get in, the Christians could come here. Kind of nice of the Ottoman Empire to consider the Christians and help them get access to their, you know, that's just kind of the way the Ottoman Empire was, really kind of working with people in many ways. But yeah, you can see it's not very glorious. They just kind of broke the wall, broke a hole in there and kind of trimmed it out and people come in. It's not much at all, especially when you compare it to, so it's not one of the original ones. Okay, those are the gates in the city today. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
How deep is that wall? You can kind of see it there with the gate. How thick it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, 8 feet, 10 feet wide? Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think if I saw cars go through there. Well, if you could, they would. I mean, yeah, if they could get a car in there, if they pick up, turn on the sign, slide it in. It's crazy. I mean, you get there, it's like, you know, it's just crazy. Yeah, it's just cars, you don't know where they park. You'll be walking on these crowded streets, and you come around a corner, it's like, there's a car. How did the car get here? You know, and then pretty soon one day it's gone, and someone drove it out, backed it out all the way through the streets.
And they don't care about the people who are walking.
Right, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, they got those steps, and then you know how they got that little angle on each of those steps. You know what that's for? That's for the carts, the people that have those bread carts. Otherwise, they go down all those steps. They right in the middle of all the steps. They got these roads. They go step, 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 step. Then right in the middle, they've got a little triangle on each step, so you can run their carts easily up and down those steps. Okay. Well, hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. We'll continue this if it's okay. I really enjoy doing this. I really look forward to this class. It's kind of fun. Yeah, those are yours. Those are yours. Oh, no. No, I just wanted... Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah, those maps of Jerusalem could be useful. You may want to have them just kind of keep, you know, locating where things are at. We maybe could refer to them sometimes. All right, hey, thank you. I'm going to pray and you can go. Father, we do thank you again for the chance to meet and talk about these things. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country, and do ask that we would provide this generation with hope and insight into your word. We do thank you for the hope that you've given to us. Again, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we also pray for the wisdom of America. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, is that right? Thank you for catching that.